Welcome, Lee, to Writers Series.
Hi, Sasha. Thank you for having me on.
We are here to celebrate writers, and you have a remarkable story because you started out, you've always had writing in your life, but you were working a different career path. Could you share how you became a full-time writer?
Yes, I didn't actually become a full-time writer until later in life. So I think I started giving it a serious crack when I was about 49, and I had this goal to be published by the time I was 55, and I think I was 53 when I finally my first book was actually published. So so I came to writing later in life, but I always dabbled beforehand while I was in working in very left brain jobs. I first started writing when I was first started writing song lyrics actually as a teenager, and we sort of had a little band when we were in high school, and we used to sing around the pubs and clubs in Newcastle where I live, and it was just a natural progression, singing covers and everything to then start penning my own songs, and that's difficult because it's like telling a story in in a song. It's not an easy thing to do. So I was naturally drawn to that. And but as I said, I went into left-brained careers because I had that, that feeling you have to get a real job, and I went down the path of having, children and a family and getting married and everything. And so I really didn't have the time. I was working and that, but I did dabble a couple of times and sent some articles into magazines and things. And so it was always there, that urge to write.
While doing the songwriting, were you incorporating personal experiences from becoming a young lady into a woman?
Yeah, I think it was more sort of those teenage angsty songs of, sort of falling in love and all that, and being dropped and all those sort of, Taylor Swiftish kind of when she first started, sort of all of those teenage feelings coming out. It was more of that kind of thing. I mean, I was very much into Cat Stevens at that time and listening to a lot of his music, and it was that time in the 70s, and I that was my scene, I think, at the
I am a huge fan of Cat Stevens, so I
time.
am in good company then.
Yeah.
Because of the songwriting that touches upon emotions and romance and love, you are an expert on writing romance suspense novels. Did you already know that you wanted to focus on the romance genre, or did you just organically fall into it?
I think you're right. I think I organically fell into it. I did write a YA novel when my children were about 12 and 10, I think. And I think really I wrote that because they were that age, and we were reading lots of books and stories, and I thought, oh, I think I've got a, YA novel that I can write. And I did that, but I put it in the drawer and have never done anything with it because once it was out of my system, I honestly thought, I'm not interested in writing another YA. I want to write something, as you said, along more emotional stories, as well as, suspense and a bit of crime, something that gets the heart beating in more ways than just romance. I've always been a fan of like a double barrel plot line of, a romance maybe happening along with a crime, or that sort of thing. I had it in my mind. I've always been a fan of the Bodyguard movie, the one, not the earlier one, but the one with Kevin Costner and Whitney Houston. And I think it was just this mix that I really liked of the music for a start, and then I've been a fan of Kevin Costner, and the fact that, that they had this romance happening at a time when she was being stalked and that kind of thing. And I just remember being taken with that and thinking, that's the kind of story that I think I can write. And so that's when I started having a go at it.
It's very interesting that you referenced the bodyguard because Kevin Costner's role provides that safety for the character to feel safe. And safe is a word that does reiterate in a trilogy of yours. So how do you define safety in romance?
Oh, look, I think it has various meanings. I mean, from that crime aspect, and yes, I am sort of drawn to that, but also I do write very strong heroines who can defend themselves as well. So it's not like, they need to be saved. But safety, just it can be physical safety, but it also can be safety in a relationship and safety of being yourself in a relationship and authentic in a relationship. So I think there's various, that's how I would define it.
Absolutely. And among your best-selling novels, you have Charlotte Pass and Crackenback. By the time you had achieved that type of acclaim, is there certain aspects of writing that you felt you have mastered?
No, honestly. I think the more you go on and and the more you're published and that, I think it's just become more clear to me of just how much I don't know. So no, I don't feel like that at all. I think I'm somebody who just feels as though I have to keep learning all the time and trying to improve what I do. And so I don't really feel that I don't have that feeling that I've mastered anything really.
You are very humble, Lee. Now, you also have a relationship with the physical geography and the location of Newcastle. How has that environment inspired you to integrate Newcastle into your writing?
Ah, so you picked up on the Newcastle scenes, did you, in Charlotte Pass?
I have not visited Newcastle, but I picked up on it. It made me question because she has roots there. What
Yeah.
is so special about that?
Yeah, look, Newcastle's a really interesting city. It's the largest city, second largest city in New South Wales, which New South Wales is the most populous state in Australia. So it was one of the first cities settled in the penal colony that was Australia. So the first one was Sydney, and then the second one was Newcastle, I understand. So it's very old, it's very historical, and it's had, it in the past it's been a very tough town. I mean, it's been a working class town of we had the steelworks here. We've got a deep water port, and so it's been a very working class city of steel making. We're very close to an area called the Hunter Valley, which has beautiful vineyards, but also lots of coal mines. And so they would ship the coal down to Newcastle Harbour and ship it all over the world. So it's been an industrial city, and I think when you grow up in a city like that, and you know what kinds of people work here, the struggles of people, the historical knowledge of the port. And everything. And also at the moment, it's changing a lot. So with climate change and everything, we're trying to change. We're at the forefront of, up in the valley now, going to green hydrogen and renewables and all of that conversation that's happening all around the world. So it's a fascinating place because as well as that industrial background and the smokestacks and that, which are long gone for 2 decades and that, we have the most amazingly beautiful coastline. So we have gorgeous beaches, as nice as any beach you'll find on the east coast of Australia. So it's this city of contrast, more so in the past than it is now. But yes, it has a huge 600 hectare state conservation area that's right in the middle of the city, and so you can walk on deserted beaches and through rainforests, when you're 10 minutes from the main city. So it's really quite a beautiful place. And so when I wrote Charlotte Pass, obviously it's set down in our snowy mountains, as we call them, and that. But I had, when I was crafting the character of my main detective, I had him that he'd worked at Newcastle Police Station, and I just felt that it's more authentic if you're writing from somewhere as well. And neither of my uh, well none of my um locations in the novel were fictional. It's a fictional story, but it's set in a real place, both in the Snowy Mountains and here in Newcastle.
You provide a beautiful overview for tourism.
Maybe that should be my next writing.
What I find to be fascinating is among a handful of Australian authors and writers that I cross paths with online and offline, they're fascinated with crime and mystery. And it got me thinking, what does Australia teach students when they're young? Because they're so big on writing suspense, murder, crime novels.
You are absolutely right. We are. And I've often thought about that myself. Why are Australians so taken with crime novels? And I really don't know. I don't know whether it's I've often thought that it might be because a crime novel, like romance, if you pick up a romance novel, you know what you're going to get. So people that love reading romance pick it up and they know at the end, despite all the hurdles and mountains that have to be moved between this couple, that they're going to get happy ever after or happy for now. I think the same goes for a crime novel. You pick it up and you know you're going to get a sense of satisfaction at the end because a crime novel really is a little bit formulaic, like a romance novel in that there's usually a goodie and a baddie, and the goodie usually comes out on top in the end. And so I think it's that satisfaction of what you're going to get at the end of the novel. That might be one side to it. Another side, I really don't know. We have had some really great crime novelists in this country. People like Peter Temple, Gary Disher. We now have some big names like Chris Hammer and Jane Harper and everything. So, in the past, our quality of crime writing has been very good. But I really don't know why we're so enamored with it.
I guess it could be a great thing because the standards are high for the next writer to publish their book.
Well, that's true. Yes, there's a lot of talent out there. It's a bit of a crowded marketplace.
But I believe each one of you do a wonderful job because you have acquired the limelight. Moving along to Reader's Digest, I was fascinated that you have been published in there. During the lockdowns, I started reading Reader's Digest all over again. What was your reaction when you found out that your work was being published in there?
Well, I was just absolutely gobsmacked, to use an Australian, I think it's an Australian expression. I it came out of the blue. I didn't even honestly. I'd only ever seen Reader's Digests when I was a kid, and dusty copies in doctor's offices here. And I had, along with National Geographic, and that's the only place that I'd come across them really. And I was even surprised to find that they actually still existed. But I had this email from my publisher, and they said, "Oh, your book has been, Charlotte Pass has been picked up to be published in Reader's Digest Select Digest, which is the Australian and New Zealand's publication." And I was just, "Oh my goodness, really? Does this Reader's Digest is still going?" And so I Googled it and had a look, and oh my goodness, the book is just absolutely beautiful. So there's four of them in the one bound up hardcover, and they're very modern, and the graphics inside are beautifully done, beautifully presented. I was absolutely thrilled. I never thought when I started writing that one day I would have a book published by Reader's Digest. I'd never even imagined that that would happen. So I was very, very happy. And then super happy when they picked up the second one, Kraken Back, as well. So I feel very, very privileged.
Very beautiful. One thing that I admire Reader's Digest for is that over the 25, 30 years of all of the literary work that they publish in their global distribution, they keep it fresh. They celebrate different writers of different genres, of different talent.
That's absolutely correct. They do. They really have their finger on the pulse, don't they?
They must have a very talented team. And speaking regarding writing technique, for someone reading any of your novels, is there anything so unique that they could pick up and say, Lee Christine wrote this?
Oh gosh, that's a tough one. I have to think. Look, honestly, Sasha, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Oh goodness. What do you mean, just a sentence or a paragraph or
Sure,
something?
it could be maybe you write in a very unique format. Is there a secret code among your followers and your community that know that you wrote it?
I would say that the thing that people have said about the novels is that it's all about how I bring the location to the page. So people have sort of said that, with the Snowy Mountains, using them as an example, the three Snowy series, because I have 10, 9 books actually published. So there's three of the Snowy Mountain series with Alan Nunwan, my three latest. But they just sort of said that I brought the Snowy Mountains to life for them, that they knew that I knew that area, that I loved that area. It came through in my writing. And so I think that, and that's what I'm trying to do. My next book, the one that I'm writing at the moment, is set in Newcastle, and I chose my home city again for that reason, because I feel that I can bring the location to life. And some of the people have said that well, I know for a fact that some people, after reading my books, and they hadn't been to our snowy mountains in New South Wales and Victoria, that they've actually visited. They've actually gone down there and stayed down there. So I've increased the tourism down there just through the books, and probably a lot of my social media posts showing the area in not only in winter but in summer as well. So I think it's that sense of place. And because my editor said to me when we were talking about my current whip, she said to me, "I think your readers will be expecting the same sense of place, that, or a similar sense of place to what you gave them in the Snowy Mountains." So that's the only thing that I can think of at this time, anyway. Something might come to me later, Sasha, when
Well,
we've
that's how
watched.
writing works. Some days it will come to us right on the spot or when we're doing something else. You talked about, you referenced the editor. Are there any writing tips that you were given or a writing tip that you discovered through writing that new and existing authors could benefit from?
Look, just as far as writing tips and things like that go, what I would say, I can only really speak from my own experience, but when I set out to write, my main aim was to finish a book, because the thing that I'd heard over and over again from editors and other authors that are published, that so many people start a book, get a certain way in, and they never finish it. And some people have, dozens of unfinished manuscripts. So I think the most important tip I think that I was given was that prove to yourself that you can actually get to the end of a book, that you can write one. And so that was my first goal. So I knew that the first novel that I penned would not be of publishable quality, and so I just wanted to get to the end of it. But by the time I got to the end, I could even see how bad the first half of the book was compared to the second half, because even just writing every day and doing the odd workshop here, going to a conference there, and listening to published authors, doing some workshops on craft and things like that. I could see during the course of writing this book, which probably took me, the first book probably took me 12 to 18 months to write it, and I was learning during this time. So even going back to the start of it, and I could see the writing improving over time, and I actually went back and rewrote the whole second half of that first novel. So that would be the biggest tip, is to prove to yourself, in my opinion, and prove to yourself that you can write a book is probably the first step. And that just means getting from the beginning to the end.
And that brings us to the present, where you earlier referenced the 10th book that will be coming out in the coming year. How was that writing experience now that is the 10th book compared to when you were writing your first book?
Well, I think it's more difficult. You would expect that by the time you're up to your 10th novel that you're like, yes, I know what I'm doing and that, but it's that feeling that the more you learn, the more you realize how much more you have to learn. And I think, and you know, so I'll find myself laboring over a paragraph for longer, or laboring over a sentence for longer than I would do in those early days, where I would just sit down and just write, and it would just pour out. And then, of course, I'd have to go back and do, a lot more editing. So it's a bit more laborious now, but I guess what it means is that I write that first draft is cleaner and re probably requires less structural editing than the earlier books. Like, I've never been asked since that first book to rewrite the first half of the novel. And I think that's what's come with a bit of experience, is that I'm pulling myself up as I go more and more, because you've got the voices of all your editors in your head for the last 9 books saying, this is, take this out, shorten this, do that. And I think that sort of stays in your mind. You're remembering that, and so you're pulling yourself up more and more. So it's not, it's not that all of a sudden I have all the answers, but it does mean that I probably produce a cleaner copy in that first draft.
And as we start to wrap things up, I thank you for sharing your process that has brought you here a decade down the road. In your opinion, compared to when you started out, and of course, there are different aspects of writing, whether you write fiction or nonfiction, character development, working through a climax and a resolution. Is there any aspect of that book writing process that you consider it to be your strength?
Definitely the thing that I find the hardest is the beginning, is the setup, when you're setting up all the characters, as you say, and you're crafting all these three-dimensional characters and you're setting the plot line and that. While that's kind of fun in that research and early stage, I really find the first 20,000 words just grueling to write, because I'm trying to set it all up. I really think my strength is being able to draw all the different pieces, all the different threads of the book that I've put in there, all the foreshadowing, and that being able to draw that and bring it into a conclusion, a satisfactory conclusion. I think I'm really sort of hitting my straps. As you said, the climax of the story is there, often what we refer to as a black moment or a climax, and then the resolution after that. And so I think by that stage, I'm really got a head of steam towards the end, and I'm pulling all those threads together, and the things that I foreshadowed even across the series sort of is answered there. So I feel that might be a strength.
And do you have a productivity tip for writers out there that could help them with time management or being more optimally efficient?
Yeah, it's different for everybody. For me, I would just say to look, I think it's a good idea if you can to write every day, but not everybody has the time, and also in a day they might not be able to set 2 or 3 hours aside to try to aim for 500, 1,000 words or something. If they're running around after children, or they've got elderly parents, or whatever's going on in their lives, they're working and everything, they might only be able to work, while they're watching the kids do their sporting practice, from the car. I know of women who sort of sit and write on a laptop in the car while the kids are at training. And so I think you do have to try to fit it in. But I would say to try to keep it up once you get going, because it is a bit of, there's that muscle memory there that helps you along. And so I find it hard when I've had an extended break of then getting back into it. So even if you only write a little bit, I think, just to keep going, make sure that you at least write something every day.
And Lee, you're
Okay.
welcome to share with audiences where people can support your work and contact you.
Yes, well, I have a website, and that's www.leechristine.com.au in Australia. I'm on Facebook, so you can find me on Lee Christine. I have a page, and I'm also on Instagram and very rarely on Twitter. I very rarely tweet, but I am on Twitter as well. So you can contact me any of those ways.
You're very well connected, Lee. Thank you for being generous and sharing your insights today. We appreciate
Oh,
you.
it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, Sasha. Thank you very much for having me.